what's happening.
All right, yeah, let's get it started. So I'd like to welcome everybody to a special edition episode of Don't Get Him Started, where I have Emmanuel Delphin.
Woo, yeah.
Thank you for joining.
No, thank you guys. Thank you guys so much for having me. I was about to tell you this before I stopped myself because I wanted to say it on the record, but I listened to your episodes, and you guys are so good, and you have some, I think I listened to the Civil War episode, and you guys go really deep into it, and I learned so much from listening. I think I learned about unicorn theory, or what is it? Was it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. That's one of the reasons we titled it Don't Get Him Started is because Kyle goes off on these tangents and some things that nobody has ever heard of. It was unicorn governance.
Okay, yes. And that's something I'm going to use in my daily life now. I'm going to go everywhere and talk about how, you know, none of this matters because it's not going to work. That's something that I learned.
What I'd like you to do, though, is find out if that is a real thing or not before you start using it in regular conversations with regular people.
Well, that's true. I don't know if you guys are just making it up on the spot because, you know, I'm gullible. I would just totally believe that. But yeah, and then you guys have such good theories and talks about what's going to happen in Endgame. Of course, that has a shelf life because the movie's coming out in like a week or two. But
I know
you're thinking of stuff that I hadn't even thought about. And I can't even wait to talk to John and Andrew, who aren't here, about it. I think you guys talked on the same app about like the barf. Barf? Is that right? Bart?
Yeah, barf. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
The binary something, something.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That was such something that I didn't even think about, but yeah, it's really, really cool. So, yeah, I'm a huge fan of your pod.
Well, you are very sweet for saying such a thing. I will gush about your podcast over and over again. I found your podcast because as I was getting more and more into the cinematic universe that is Marvel, I needed more as far as, you know, whether it was a theory or just individuals talking about it and giving me the backstory and the connection to the comics. And I'll give you a little bit of insight into like why I got into podcasts in the first place. When I would go out running, I'd go, you know, either short or long distances, and I needed something to fill that time, and music was doing it, but I needed to hear people talking. I needed to be a part of civilization and society. Yeah. And you and your podcast, I found it, I just stumbled across it and I started listening to it. And the fact that you guys took, you started at the beginning, for Countdown to Infinity, you started at the beginning and watched every movie leading up to it. And one of the reasons I love your podcast so much is the consistency. And that's one thing that Kyle and I haven't been able to nail down. I can expect a new podcast, whether it's from listener mail or whether it's a new episode in your second season right now, Countdown to Endgame. You guys are so consistent. And I love hearing each and every one of you speak to like your expertise. And I think, you know, John and Andrew working, do they both work in a comic book shop?
So is that what I expertise, derive from? You're talking about them. Cause I have no expertise. I think I just make a couple jokes here.
You bring it all together.
Yeah. Well, so,
you're the Captain America.
So Andrew, I am Captain America. And, which means one of them is my Bucky and the other one is, I don't know, Groot or something. Cause I don't understand what they're talking about. No. So John is really neat. He actually went to school. He went to writing school. Cause I went to film school up at UT in Austin. John went to film school too, but he kind of majored in screenwriting. So he has this really great knowledge of movies and films. And then, of course, he reads comic books. But Andrew, if you ever come down to Texas, the largest comic book shop in Texas is called Heroes and Fantasies. And Andrew's a partner there. And I mean, it's humongous. Imagine, I want to say Walmart, but it's not that humongous. Like maybe one of those small neighborhood Walmarts. Imagine that, but it's all just comic books. I think they have a couple locations too where they're right outside of a movie theater, which is just perfect placement for them. But yeah, Andrew has a really good knowledge, and a lot of the guests come from his friends, but they know a lot of the backstory between these superheroes, and I am mostly exposed to them in the movies or maybe a cartoon like Spider-Man. And I love hearing how they started, how Spider-Man started as a character, or where they place in the whole pantheon of Marvel stuff. But yeah, because these movies exist on their own, but they have such good source material that it's something that helps our pod. And what's really cool, and I was talking to John about this today earlier, was that we really hope that whenever we talk about comic stuff and movie stuff, and we may use some really out there, really specific examples, but we really hope it's accessible, because we don't want you to have to think like, oh my gosh, I have to read a million comic books to understand, you know, what's happening or the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So that's our number one goal. And sometimes it's a joke that we'll make, or we'll berate John for talking way too much. But we want it all to be accessible so that you feel like, oh, if I had a friend who knew a lot about comic books, this is how he would explain it to me. And not in a way where he makes me feel like I'm not that well informed. Because to be honest, John and Andrew know so much more about this stuff. And I genuinely learn from sitting there and talking to them and asking them questions about, you know, all that good stuff. So I'm hoping that although they have a lot of knowledge, and that it comes off as being genuine, and it's not educational, because education's boring, but you know, it's fun to learn the stuff that they know.
Oh, that's the feeling I get absolutely when I listen. And I guarantee anybody else who listens, just in reading a lot of the reviews, there is a genuine personable feeling when you listen to everybody on the podcast, whether they're on it all the time or whether they're guests of yours. And again, I think that John and Andrew both bring a lot of, I guess, I don't know if humility is the right word, but they do have a wealth of knowledge. So they could just spout it off and call everybody idiots and say, we know more than you, but they don't do that. They actually, I find most of the time they're being very sensitive to the fact that they go so much deeper within the realm of, you know, the universes and the alternate realities that is, you know, the comic book world. And, you know, what you do so well is, you know, bring everybody together with humor and connectivity and having bringing up great conversation. So, I mean, one of my favorite bits that you did on the first Countdown to Infinity was just every time you did the quiz using, was it, what was, I can't remember the app you used.
Oh, but, Kahoot.
Kahoot, yeah. The prize, every time you offered the new prize. And I can't remember if it was John or Andrew who announced it every time, but that was, I don't know, I expected it every time. Yeah. So again, just every time I got to listen to you guys, it brought up so much more of that connectivity for me, and it allowed me to branch out without feeling like I was missing a beat. Because I still, maybe I'll read a couple, you know, to get that origin story. But the suggestions that come from the two of them, you know, and from yourself, it allows me to feel like I'm connected without being too far removed. Even though I didn't, you know, I grew up reading Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and ones that were accessible at like a 7-Eleven. You know, or a convenience store that you could buy for 99 cents, like Tales from the Crypt, Batman, like all those ones that I could just buy off the rack.
Yeah.
But I don't remember reading Marvel comics. And now as a, you know, nearly 40-year-old man, I'm just obsessed with this world again, which is how I stumbled across your podcast.
Yeah. And we're hoping that, because there's so much, I mean, now we don't have to wait too long for more Marvel Cinematic Universe movies, but I think, you know, comic books will benefit from the Marvel Cinematic Universe just as much as, you know, the films benefit from the people who have read them for generations and generations. And it's funny that you talk about us being consistent, but a huge part of that means that whether it's like 1 a.m. or 2 a.m., and because everyone works a full-time job and you're off, it means that we're going to record something. And so a lot of times when we're joking around, that is just sleep deprivation or being tired. But I think that's really special. I'm sure, you know, you're getting this with your host, is you end up spending, especially if you're watching every single Marvel Cinematic Universe, just outside of talking about movies, you're spending a lot of time with one person and talking. And I, you know, I mean, we don't, you know, share our thoughts about, you know, our days or anything too much, but it is there's something really therapeutic about it, where it's worth it, whether it's no one who listens or 100,000 people that listen, because you're spending time with someone. And just earlier today, because I mean, this is the truth. I'm trying to get a season 3 of Countdown to Infinity, and John and Andrew, they have there's things and ideas, and I don't know if you have any ideas for what that would be, because I don't know what the next Avengers movie is going to be, or if, you know, I don't even know. But part of it, I was telling them, I was like, hey, we just talk about this stuff anyways. Now we're just doing it with microphones. So it's probably the same with you and your co-host, is you probably want to talk about this stuff. You know, when Endgame ends, you're going to want to talk a lot about Endgame. But the difference is you're recording it, and people also want to listen to you and know what you think about it. And you guys have such good insights that I think it's going to be really amazing.
Yeah, I mean, that was going to be one of the questions I asked you, and you kind of just answered it. I mean, that's exactly how Kyle and I got to doing this, was we were talking about it so much working together, and, you know, everybody has their ideas and their theories. And right now, being so engrossed with social media and every form of like marketing out there for these movies, it's you can't miss and you can't avoid, whether it's a new trailer that just dropped or a fan theory, or, you know, there's merchandise that's being kicked out there that has some sort of Easter egg in it. So it's all over the fucking place. So everybody's talking about it. And I mean, the one thing it did open up for the two of us is everybody now just assumes like, I just want to talk about it all the time, which is not a problem. But like, everybody's like, hey, did you see that new trailer that dropped? Yeah. I'm like, nah.
It's your life now. This is your thing.
So how did, you spoke a little bit about how you got this started and how you guys were talking about it already. And you mentioned, you know, everything that you guys did on the side, but your main gigs are the things that you're doing for real. And this is kind of, you know, it sounds like something you do on the side for, you know, enjoyment, entertainment, like you said, some therapeutic like release. So you got started on Countdown to Infinity just kind of on a whim, just like, hey, let's start this and let's see if we can knock it out before this movie comes out.
Yeah, but I will say that there's a lot that led to it being what it is now, which is a consistent and, you know, listened to show. My very first podcast ever I did in 2010 in my dorm room, and it was awful. It was on an old... I think it was called Blog Talk Radio, which I don't even know if it exists anymore.
There is a podcast that I listened to was on Blog Talk.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And I think some people had to dial in to listen to it. Like, it was really old school. And of course, you know, that didn't do that great. A little bit later on, we did a podcast called maybe the first Delphin Pod, which is just a channel. The very first podcast we did was called Revenge of the Sequel. We did 100 episodes of that. And, you know, it was okay. It wasn't consistent. I think between our first episode and second episode was almost a month long wait. But what was really cool is we got to talk about movies that were in theaters, really old ones. We got to talk to stars. I think, we have like some actors on it we got to talk to Robert Rodriguez.
You had the principal from Back to the Future. Principal,
it's just random stuff like that.
That shit blew my mind. I was like, how the fuck did you find this guy?
And so we learned,
that was nuts.
We learned about podcasting that way. Again, it was, I would say it was okay. It wasn't, we love it. It's like our firstborn child.
Right.
But it wasn't super successful in terms of numbers. It was our most successful show, but it was good. Like, I really liked it. We're probably going to do another season of it. After Endgame. When Infinity War was going to come out, my girlfriend actually, and I credit her for partially creating it, is she had not seen any MCU movies. And so I said, you know, here's an ultimatum. We're going to break up if I'm just kidding. No, we were like, well, you got to watch them all. And she's like, well, which ones? And I was like, which ones? All of them. So we started doing this marathon of sorts, kind of like what you're doing now in your show, and kind of like what AMC is going to do in 40 hours or whatever. But it's just marathon watching every episode. And I told John and Andrew, and then we decided, well, let's do it all together, but let's podcast as well. Let's record what we're talking about. It'll get us excited for Infinity War. And I think because we learned more about the podcasting side of the show from Revenge of the Sequel and other things we've done before, we definitely started, you know, podcasting. We decided, let's have a game in the middle of this to break up just us talking about how great it is. Let's have these little segments inside of it. And then the one other thing that really helped was Spotify originally didn't have podcasts on their... I don't know. Do you listen to Spotify at all, or...
I occasionally do.
So Spotify had this deal where they, you know, on iTunes, you can publish a podcast and it'll be on in the store no matter what. Well, when Spotify began podcasting, they were not that way. They were going to vet and curate the podcast on that platform. So you couldn't just submit to Spotify and get in. They listened to it and they would refuse or deny you. And so on a whim, we were like, well, let's try this. Let's edit it really well. Let's add, you know, music. Let's have this game. Let's make sure it's on okay microphones. And so we submitted it to Spotify and they said, okay, cool. We'll program it. And so in terms of just podcasts, there were less than about 100, I would say maybe 200 maybe, podcasts on Spotify total. And so we were one of the few movie podcasts on Spotify. And that's really when it blew up, was you really didn't have a choice. You were either going to listen to, you know, Marc Maron or us or something. You know, it wasn't like iTunes where there were a million choices. And so that's really what took us to the next level. So I don't want to say it was luck, but it was partially that and knowing that we had to have a really good product because we had learned from other pods. So I know it sounds crazy because I know everyone, it's really easy to make a podcast, but sometimes it takes a couple to get to, you know, the thing that does really well audience-wise. But that's what really helped us. And what's kept it going is we know we're not the New York Times, we're not Slash Film. So we really appreciate the people who listen. And so we always want to interact. I think if you message us on any social media, we'll respond to you very quickly. We give stuff away because we know we're really lucky to be in this position. And we also don't monetize that much. I don't think you hear a single ad for a while.
No.
Who knows? I of course, Andrew has his 1998 Toyota Corolla that he won on the thing. So he's got it made anyways.
He's got a new car.
Yeah, he's got his new car.
Dude, that's crazy. And again, you know, you talk about like, I value like everything that you guys put out and the stuff that you guys talk about. And again, I spoke of humility and just you guys being very humble. And, you know, I think there's moments too, that you reference, you know, being a almost like a small time podcast, and you just, you know, mentioned that you're not the, New York or New York Times. But like you had Sean Gunn.
Yeah.
On an interview. So like, you know, and I don't know, I won't ask you your secrets, but
it's not a huge secret. You can do this. You stalk them, you wait outside their house. You find out what time their kids go to bed and then you crawl into their kid's bedroom and then you say,
yes,
where's your dad right now? And I'm just kidding. It's not a huge secret. We went to a Comic-Con and I'm sure there's some, I think almost every major city now has some kind of Comic-Con. And we just hustled our way in and hustled our way to getting interviews. And the majority of our interviews are from some kind of Comic-Con. You'll get a lot of no's. So a ton of people will say no. We asked a lot of people. And some people are like, who are you? Where, you know, I'll use an example. Like I'm Brad Pitt or something. I think the worst no we ever got was a Tara Reid from Sharknado. I don't know if you've seen.
Oh, yeah.
She said no. And we were like scratching our heads. She said it to our face. We were talking to her. Her manager was like, yeah, do the interview. This is going to be good. And she said no. We were scratching our heads. We were like, why not? Like, it's Sharknado. It's not like you're giving away secrets to something that, you know, it's not like you're working on Star Wars or anything.
Right.
But yeah, so you could probably do it too. You just have to be okay with saying no. And then kind of being a little like hiding a microphone in your pocket or something until you're like at the front of the line or something like that.
I am usually pretty confident and I'm usually, yeah. I can step up and speak to anybody and go up to anybody on the street if I recognize them and be like, hey, what's going on? But I mean, my wife will never let me live down. Sam Beam of Iron and Wine was walking through Boise and this is where I'm saying like, you know, you say usually major cities have stuff like that come through. Yeah. Usually they miss us, but he came for a concert and he was walking by and I may have been a little high and he is walking, Pat literally walks right in front of us. And I had every chance to step up and be like, oh my God, hey man, what's up? Could I take your picture, you know, with us? And I got so nervous. I just did like a, a quick turn into a building, not even a door, just like, let's avoid this contact. So I don't know if I'd be okay with no, and I think I would be so starstruck. But again, that's why I love listening to your podcast, because of just the overall tone and what you guys bring to it. So I really appreciate it. I would ask you this question. Yeah. I think I kind of know the answer. You answered it a little bit before, but you know, what draws you to Marvel movies in general?
Oh my gosh. So I think there's, I mean, other than the wealth and the goodwill that Marvel has created since they were, you know, Stan Lee and Kirby all just working on this thing that they were doing. Separating that, I think what's really amazing about the Marvel Cinematic Universe is it was such a big risk when it first started. I think after the podcast, we started looking into it, and Paul Feige, he had
nailed it.
Yeah, nailed it. Did I really? Yes.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, whatever his name is, they took out a really big loan. I know this is like film finance stuff, but I think it's scary to me to think about, like, even if we're starting a small business, but they took out a humongous loan, and the thing they put up, you know, they were like, all right, we're going to take out this big loan to make movies. And the thing they used as leverage, or the collateral that they put up, was all of their characters. So Marvel said, we're going to take out this big loan, we're going to make some movies. If they don't work, we'll just lose all of our characters. And I think that's so ballsy and scary. Mm-hmm. But Iron Man was good. And I think what's really impressive to me in what's happening right now in the Marvel Cinematic Universe is there hasn't really been, I mean, you can make the case for some early films like Dark World or Incredible Hulk, but there hasn't been a big steep drop off in quality and outside of box office, just the kind of movie that they're putting out. And it's kind of like they're tapping into this weird, like, we're all obsessed with streaming and binging things now, but I think the Marvel Cinematic Universe is just a stretched out version of that. Like, you mm-hmm. know, the thing that you're seeing is going to have a payoff in two movies from now, or, you know, here's this Easter egg for this thing that happened in another movie earlier. And so I enjoy that. I think it's something that's ongoing, and it's not so much even about movies. I think it's just crazy in terms of storytelling, what they're doing in Marvel Studios right now, making these movies stand on their own, but having them all be this gigantic puzzle piece to a puzzle that is right now infinite. Like, there's no, we're in the end game for Endgame, but there's movies well past this. And so I'm just excited about the storytelling aspect of what's happening in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. There's no limit. And what they're doing is connecting 20 movies, 30 movies, at some point 40 or 50 movies together. And it's really cool to see. And they're earning that goodwill that the comic books did. You know, you would buy a comic book from Marvel and kind of know what you were in for. And it may not have been your favorite, but you're like, all right, well, I'll still buy the next comic book. They're doing the same thing for movies. They've earned so much goodwill from Avengers, from all Doctor Strange, Guardians of the Galaxy, that now is just a person who loves movies. Like, I am excited to see whatever's next. I'll probably get Disney Plus and watch Marvel Vision, or what is it? Vision, what is it called? Vision, Scarlet Vision?
I don't know. Again, that's one of those things that somebody was trying to tell me today, and I was like, leave me alone.
Yeah, I'm going to watch all the Disney Plus stuff without even thinking about it because of all the things that absolutely. They're doing. So it's crazy, and I think we were just talking about this today, and we don't want to really, I don't know. So Marvel fans are also really good fans. Like, they're, mm-hmm. you know, there's other big pop culture things. I won't mention any of them. But Marvel fans are really good fans. And they're accepting of the idea that these are movies, that, you know, the comic books are sacred, but they're not, you know, set in stone. And I think partially that's because there's, you know, 20 reiterations of every Marvel character in comic books. They die, they come back, there's different worlds. So I think what's really amazing about Marvel is the people who love the movies can also love the books, and they're a very good group of people. Like, everyone's just rooting for the Marvel movies to be good. I don't know if that makes any sense, but they're a good community to be a part of. Yeah. Instead of, yeah, I don't want to name them, but there are some that are not that way, that are a little bit more toxic right. and are, you know, they're looking at every frame and, you know, so I really like, I mean, other than some boycotts and stuff, but I think the Marvel community is a good community to be in.
Yeah, it is so fucking nuts, like what it's become. There's never been anything like it. And I, you know, I had mentioned this on one of our episodes, like early on. But when I was growing up, I mean, I went to high school in the 90s, late yeah. 90s. And, you know, if you were into comic books, I mean, you know, Tim Burton was doing Batman and there were some, obviously some other comic, like comics brought to life on the big screen back then, but it wasn't like huge. And I still think that there was an essence of like that, the jock versus the nerd, and the nerd was unfortunately the only one that would wear a Batman t-shirt. Or, you know, if you could find it, a shirt that would represent any other comic that was out there. Because now, excuse me, now you can go to fucking any store.
Yeah.
Any store has licensed products that have Marvel on it. I mean, I'm right now currently, I am obsessed with t-shirts.
Yeah.
Just like any sort of graphic tee. And they're all over the place.
Oh, yeah. I just bought something from this Facebook ad. It was an Avengers hoodie. But now I'm realizing it was like some crazy Chinese factory and I'm probably never getting that hoodie, but I was just like, man, this looks really cool. I got to buy it. And I bought it before reading any reviews, but I get your point. It's so ingrained now in everything and it's just going to be good long run. I think that's why Marvel is putting so much into, you know, the diversity in their films and what their films represent, because they are laying the groundwork for like generational shifts. So now, you know, any kids today can think, oh, they can be a superhero, or they'll remember when they were in diapers and watched Iron Man or something. So, I think that's what's just overall, that's what Disney does. Disney will, they get you while they're young. I mean, there's a reason why cigarettes used to advertise on cartoon channels is because children have a larger affinity and I guess a bigger loyalty, and they'll keep that as they grow up. I mean, and I think that's what's really smart about the way that Marvel is doing everything they're doing now. And the, I mean, they have a great partner. Disney has been around almost 100 years and people love Disney, whether the movie is 50 years old or whatever. And I think they're setting up Marvel to be kind of that way for generations and generations. And we may never stop podcasting until, you know, whatever our consciousness or is in some computer or something, because there's always going to be some Marvel movie out there. And we'll be talking like, you know, I remember when, you know, this was 3D and not 6D now that it is now. Or
we're going to get into the lightning round. Okay, I've got a couple questions. Yeah. And you gotta answer real quick and you got to answer to the best of your ability.
I feel like I'm in a courtroom or something like that, but it's fine because I love lying.
Pretty close.
Yeah, okay.
I'm judicious, but there's no prize. I don't have a prize set up.
It's fine.
And I apologize for that.
It's all right.
I got something. I think I have the instruction manual for my microphone sitting on the table that will be yours if you get all these correct.
That's
Are you ready?
That's going to be handy because at some point I might have that exact model.
Oh, you'd be lucky if you did. I mean,
yes.
I spare no expense. Okay, ready. So favorite Marvel movie out of all the ones that you've watched so far, and your least favorite, go.
Okay, favorite is probably Guardians of the Galaxy. It was just so complete and, yeah, really good movie.
Volume 1 or 2?
Volume 1, although Volume 2 was pretty dark. My least favorite, and again, I love all these movies, but I think my least favorite is Incredible Hulk. It just feels so disconnected from the rest of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. That's probably not that's not a controversial decision, I don't think. I think you're... Yeah, I think most people will say that that's a little bit different. I don't know of an... I mean, I think it's possible that Endgame will be my favorite or my least favorite. Who knows?
Okay, now true or false? You sound just like Edward Norton. Go.
False? I don't think I sound like Edward Norton. I mean... Really?
Yes, the first episode I listened to was The Incredible Hulk.
Oh, wow.
And you guys were talking about Edward Norton, and I remember listening to you, and I was like, this guy sounds just like fucking Edward Norton.
You're like Edward Norton.
And I went home, and I told my wife, and my wife was like, no, he doesn't. And I'm trying to get other people to hear it. They didn't hear it. So I guess the answer is false.
Yeah,
you got that one right.
It'd be the funniest thing in the world would be Edward Norton doing his own podcast about Incredible Hulk, because he takes so much, he took so much responsibility for it. He was rewriting scenes, he was overriding the director and sometimes even the producers. And so I think right now still, if you ask Edward Norton his favorite MCU movie, he would say his own, because he's, you know.
Oh my God, you are right, dude. He's controlling the entire narrative.
Yeah.
So he's doing your podcast. It's you doing the podcast.
I'm gonna call
this makes so much sense.
I'm gonna call my bank tomorrow and see if they'll give me a loan, and I'll say, this is Edward Norton. You gotta give it to me.
Yeah, is that all you need?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is your favorite Chris in the MCU, and why?
Chris Evans, I think he's the closest thing we have to Jesus in the MCU. He is, I think everyone goes back to that scene where he is super skinny, doesn't have a lot of ability yet, but he jumps on that grenade to protect everyone. And I think from that moment on, he could do no wrong in my eyes. I think even through Civil War and even till now. And the reason why I say Jesus is because a lot of people also feel like he is going to sacrifice himself, just like Jesus did. And we'll see. But, you know, just like Jesus, he comes back in 3 days. This is like an Easter-themed podcast right now.
You are fucking nailing it, because it's also, it's like 5 days after Easter.
Oh, my gosh.
So everything is working out here.
Right now, yeah.
Oh, right. For anybody just joining us, we have Edward Norton on the podcast predicting, Jesus will return again in the form of Chris Evans.
It's me, Edward.
He's a super soldier.
It's me, Edward Norton. Turn or burn.
The last one I have is, and you talked about it a little bit, but we've got Disney Plus coming out. We've got the new Star Wars movie. We've got Endgame and Game. I think you're a Game of Thrones fan.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so do we have all those things? What's the one that you're most excited for?
Okay, I'm not, I think
there's no wrong answer.
There really isn't. I will say probably Endgame, and I'm sure you're feeling this too. But your life is becoming the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and you're just thinking about it all day long. And I think the Russo brothers, just said that no one else has guessed what's going to happen in it. And you took that as a challenge. Mm-hmm. But I think, Endgame is a culmination of decades of work. It has a lot of really great characters, and you're seeing them all together. There was even a big Infinity War cliffhanger that probably rivals a lot of the biggest cliffhangers in cinema. I think Endgame's going to take it for me. I feel like, I'm going to touch briefly on the other stuff you talked about. Star Wars Episode 9 is going to be loved or hated very quickly. So I'm just going to go in with no expectations to that. And Game of Thrones, I mean, you got to judge a whole last season, and they're each a movie. So I don't know if I'll start to like it within the first three or just in that very last scene of the very last Game of Thrones, whether I'll shrug my shoulders and be like, what? Or something like that. So I will say this, though. Everything you just mentioned, we're probably going to have a podcast for because of how big they are in terms of pop culture. So super excited.
Oh, yeah, dude. Well, that's awesome. I, once again, just want to thank you for giving me a call and chatting with me once again in front of a microphone. I mean, this is what we do.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you. I mean, you said such kind words about my podcast, and I feel like I should not accept them, but I will.
You should. It's really good. And I will, because I don't listen to that many podcasts. I'm really adamant listeners to like 5 or 6 podcasts. Well, I feel like that's a lot maybe. But, I instead of listening to like 30 different podcasts, I'll listen to every episode of 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 a day. And I will say that you guys have such a great, I would say camaraderie, but I guess it's from you guys knowing each other for a while. You guys have such a good rapport with each other, and it's really amazing the things that you guys are thinking about. And again, it's even more amazing that you guys are doing it remotely. I mean, if we weren't in the same room, I don't know if I could talk to John or Andrew, because I need to be touching them physically at all times in order to talk to them. So we hold hands the entire podcast. So it's kind of weird.
That helps me so much with the visuals.
Yeah. Yeah. Just imagine that. Imagine 3 grown men holding hands and talking about Marvel as we look each other in the eye, cockeyed, because there's 3 people, I guess.
Well, I appreciate it. I thank you so much. And I thank you for, you know, putting out the shows that you do. And once again, it's Revenge of the Sequel that's out there, and then Countdown to Endgame that's currently out there, which is the second season of Countdown to Infinity. Is that how you would reference it?
Look, we thought about changing it, the name, but we're stuck with Countdown to Infinity because of a lot of things. Like right now, if you Google Avengers podcast, all of Google is Countdown to Infinity. So we couldn't really change the name because, or else we would miss out on it.
Okay.
So, gotcha. Yeah. So it's still Countdown to Infinity, but it does say Endgame on there for some reason, like on the logo and on every episode. So it's a little confusing. But yeah, Countdown to Infinity, Endgame, I guess, is this second season, but for sure. We don't talk about every single Marvel Cinematic Universe movie because we did that the first season. We just talk about the heroes. But it sounds like you can listen to your podcast if you want to listen to all of the, you know, movie by movie. So this is good synergy that's happening right now.
That's all I ask for. But so is there any other plugs or anywhere else that people can hear you?
No, I'd say just, so the name of the whole channel is Delfin Pod, D-E-L-F-I-N-P-O-D. I'd say keep updated there. We do have, I think on Monday, our Game of Thrones podcast will come out. I think it's called Countdown to Spring. I think we're just going to go with this countdown thing. we're talking about a Star Wars pod. There's a lot of things. Revenge of the Sequel is going to have a news type show that is just like news. And I think it's already on the Apple News app. But yeah, there's just a lot. And again, it's just so that we can make as much of this accessible to as many people as possible. And we obviously have fun doing it. So yeah, it's a lot of good times.
Well, I appreciate it. And, you know, I can't wait for the next episode to come out. And hopefully we get to chat again soon.
Yeah, it was great to talk to you. We got to talk again once Endgame comes out.
Absolutely.
We'll have to set a timer because it'll probably be like a 10-hour episode. But do you guys talk about what you think will happen like at the end of every episode? Do you guys have like just a list of theories now or...
Well, every time, once again, when Kyle gets going, he starts to, after he watches the movies again, he starts to theorize because he hasn't seen it in so long. And there's things that he's catching now because after Infinity War, I mean, there are so many things that were referenced and the anthology and how everything has led up to this. And so every time, even if it's like, it has nothing to do with anything, he's trying to connect the dots. Yeah. So usually he's making a theory at the end of every one.
That's so cool because it's good to have on record because then you can go back and see if
say
you got
we
it
did
right.
it.
Yeah, we did it. We guessed all of it. I think we did that for I don't even remember, but yeah, because there's so many. You talk about it so much probably at this point, but if we come back after Endgame and you guys guessed it right, I guess we'll have to send you a 1998 Toyota Corolla.
Oh, finally!
I know we've got a whole lot of them here.
Awesome, cool. Well, thank you, Manuel. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right. Peace.